Rabbi Yehuda Steinberg.
I'd like to say a few ideas on the parsha. But before then, I'd like to say that some of the halachot focus for Rosh Chodesh Adar. Mishenichnas Adar, marbin b'simcha. All the children know it, get very excited. I'd get excited ready for Adar Aleph. One headmaster said to me, he wishes they would call it Shvat Beis rather than calling it Adar Aleph, because maybe the children would behave a bit better. Mishenichnas Adar, marbin b'simcha. And the children get very, very excited. They love the nash, the noise, the mischief. And the person gets older, then he finds it's not so much fun anymore. The noise is disturbing. The sweets get stuck in one's mouth. The person gets frustrated. It's not the same b'shlichas ador b'avim b'simcha. But it's a mistake to think that the chiyuv is only for children. The chiyuv is on every adult. Just like a person, Chas Shalom, would go through the 9 days without feeling a certain amount of sadness over the Chorban, would feel very disappointed in himself, the same thing comes to Adar. K'shem shumatim b'simcha b'av, kach marbim b'simcha b'Adar. It's the same chayva. A person has to be marbim b'simcha, that's the chayva sayoyim. A person doesn't enjoy the stupid things that the children think, he has to find something which makes him marbim b'simcha. There's nothing which is more marbim b'simcha then Emuna. Chaznish famously writes, "Ki ein kol etzev lemishemaki oivoy shelo emes." There's no sadness for somebody who recognizes the light of truth. A person who has no Emuna gets up in the morning, he's jealous of his neighbors, he's disappointed with all the things that he wanted to get and he doesn't have, and he knows that at the end of it, all that awaits him eventually is death, where he loses everything. A person who has no emunah, his whole life is full of disappointments. And that is why we see that even the most popular, wealthy, famous people, actors, whatever they may be, eventually when here they get involved in drugs and suicide even, hardly every week or two passes without some incident like this. And the reason is because without emunah, a person is always going to be filled with sadness. The only way to have simcha is to have emunah. A person who knows that every single event that happens is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen, and he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves him and is protecting him. A person by mistake bangs his little finger. He shouldn't think, okay, that happens, that's life. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen because he loves you, this was the best thing that could have happened to you. And he knows that death is no more than moving from a world which is imperfect to a perfect world. A person with a munah can have simcha in the worst of situations, and there's been stories of gedolim be'emes who went through terrible situations and they were still able to maintain simcha because of the realization of a munah. And that is why after we read the Megillah and we say Shoshana Yaakov, Tzol of Esomecha, they rejoiced. Why? And we carry on, we say Lo Yidia Shekol Kivecha Lo Yevoyishuv Lo Yikomu Lo Netzach Kol Achoisim Boch. That a person who trusts in his job, in the stock market, then eventually there's times when he gets upset with life because things don't pan out like he wanted. But a person who trusts in Hashem, he never has any reason to be sad, to be ashamed of himself. That is nowadays not just in business. A person often may trust in his relationships. People will spend a lot of time and energy trying to please people, their boss, the workers, different people they think they might have influence in their lives, friends, and they'll do a very lot. And the what happens is someday they betray them in some small manner. And then they get very, very upset. Look, I invested so much. I was so devoted, so loyal. What have you done? But a person who has a munna doesn't think about these things. He knows I don't need to think about what other person thinks. I do what's right. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. So a person, a munna, is the yisod of simcha. Ador means aleph, which is one Hashem Elohim. Aleph, one door. He lives within this world. That is the avodah of Ador. He dwells amongst us. So Chazisul used to say, "Hemanti ki adabe ani onisi meod." Hemanti ki adabe. When do I have a munah ki adabe? When I talk about it. It's a mistake to think that a person should get up and say, okay, I have a munna, and then switch off it. Emanti ki adabe. You want to have a munna, you have to speak about a munna. Constantly talking about a munna is the only way that a person can actually have a munna in his life. It's possible in Malachi, Oz didvu yirei Hashem ishel ve'eyu, that at a time, the Radak says there, when there's a lack of a munna, then the only way to avoid being influenced is Oz didbu, when people talk to each other about Emunah. Nowadays there are many amazing books. There's Living Emunah and these other books which talk about Emunah. And the person has to be mishtadl to bring it into their lives. And we learn it all from Megillas Esther, because Megillas Esther teaches how Shvorcha runs this world. The Elie Chasm Sefer says it's a Santa Moshul. Interesting, he says himself that this Moshul is an unbelievable Moshul, he says. He says there were two people in a dark room, in a dark forest, and they couldn't see anything. And they had to... Chasm Sefer. And there were two people in the forest, they couldn't see anybody. And one person found a box of matches, and every time he saw somebody he wanted to recognize, he would light a match and look and see. And another person didn't have a box of matches, so what did he do? He would listen very, very carefully and look as best as he could, and notice various things. He could tell by the sound of the voice who the person was, or by some small glimmer he would get an idea. And he learned to train himself to be able to see even in the dark, to recognize even from the voice. And then he said, came daylight. The one who had used the matches hadn't gained anything all night, because at the end of the day he could see in the night, he could see in the day, so he recognized people. The other one was now able to recognize people on a much deeper level. The smallest thing, he could recognize somebody. He says there are people that look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu only through Nisim Guluim, through Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. That is how they recognize Hashem. But there are those who work through the Nisim Nistorim, through the Megillas Esther kind of miracles. And then they come to recognize Hashem even when it's in the smallest ways possible. A small nuance, that must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it. So it says that's the Moedek and Moshe to understand the Avodah of Purim. It's very interesting. The word Mazel stands for Mokoim Zman Loshon. A place, a time, speech. Loshon, speaking, talking. Good mazel is to be in the right place at the right time and say the right thing. Bad mazel is to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and say the wrong thing. And unfortunately it happens to people. You've been in the wrong place, and suddenly you say something, oh, what did I do? That's mazel. But Maisa Ein Mazel is Solach. Everything is a Shporch, even mazel is the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If one's bespoining in the story of Megillas Esther, one Nakuda, there's thousands. There's the biggest mazel rav Haman, Harosho. Just very quickly. Mordechai HaTzadik saved Achashverosh's life. For years Achashverosh did nothing. One night he asks his servants, because he's all worried, he thinks Haman's plotting against him. What did Mordechai HaTzadik get? Had Haman Harosho taken quicker on building the gallows and come in before Achashverosh should have asked the question, the whole story may have taken a different turn. Had he come a few minutes later, after Achashverosh had decided on what reward to give Mordechai HaTzadik, again, he would have realized, Mordechai HaTzadik is about to get a reward. This is not the time to ask to do something to Mordechai. But he came, as Achashverosh asked the question, before Achashverosh decided on the answer. He asked, what reward? After many years, what reward? And the moment before he got the answer, that is when Haman walked in. It was the worst possible moment. We're talking about a few minutes. How long does it make to make a decision? Those few minutes, after Achashverosh asked the question, before he got the answer, that was the worst time Haman could have come in. And the place, the Medrash describes that Achashverosh had nightmares, that Haman was coming to plot against him, and suddenly Haman walks in to the king's palace at night, with a chutzpah, says the Monos Halevi, to come into the king's palace at midnight, it's not normal visiting hours. He came at the wrong place, mamish in the wrong place. This is not the time, you don't come into the king's bedroom and start asking him things. And what did Haman say? Loshon, what was his Loshon? He said they should use the king's horse, the king's crown, the king's clothes. The worst thing to possibly say, Achashverosh is thinking that you're plotting against him, which he wasn't, Lamaisa. In that aspect, he was innocent. He wasn't plotting to kill Achashverosh. But he said the very words that confirmed Achashverosh's worst suspicions. So he came at the wrong time, to the wrong place, and he said the very worst thing. But we know that it's not because of that's not what's bad mazel, like people use the expression, what's bad luck. It works for the Sefer Ket. The coincidence is the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu behaving and remaining anonymous. It's a very nice lotion. Ramaisa, but we see that's the Musa that we can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu even through those small bad mazel, so to speak, ways. That's very important. That is the avoid of Ador. When a person has that clearly, the Muna, Amanti Ki Adabu, when he has the speech of a Muna, and he's talking about Muna, that brings the biggest source of Simcha that a person can have. And then you'll be Be'ebes Be'kai, Be'shadech Nesador Mavim, the Simcha, which is Mamash HaChayva on every Yid, not just for the little children. Okay, that was a small point on we covered the Shchilish Ador. When we were younger, my father used to always ask us this riddle: what is the very last thing that the Torah says? What's the very last thing that the Torah says? Rashi says, "Le'enei kol Yisrael, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises Moshe Rabbeinu for breaking the luchos." You want to know who Moshe Rabbeinu was? The pasuk there describes how great Moshe, he spoke to Hashem, he did tremendous nisim, and finally, do you know what Moshe Rabbeinu did? He broke the luchos. Le'enei kol Yisrael, he broke the luchos. Wow, that's amazing thing. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos, which is very shver. That's the most important thing you can say. That's the last Rashi al Torah, the last words of the Torah. Le'enei kol Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos. In Ovis to Rav Nosson, there's an entire description. Does anybody disagree? That is the last thing which the Torah says. Le'enei kol Yisrael. In Ovis to Rav Nosson, there's a description there from the Medrash how Lemaisa break the luchos. It wasn't made out of cheap thing. The luchos was sapphire stone. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just drop them. He had to smash the luchos. And the Medrash there says that the Zakenim stood there and they argued with him, but they tried to stop him from breaking the luchos. And they tried to grab it off him, so that he shouldn't be able to break them. But Moshe Rabbeinu was stronger and he managed. That's not how the Ovis Rav Nosson says. There's another Medrash, but the Ovis Rav Nosson says, Faket, he had to smash it and they fought with him. And he got Govo Yodoy, he became stronger, he pulled it off them to break it. There's a dissenting vote on the Ovis Rav Nosson, B'derech Agav. Is that the Ovis Rav Nosson says that they grabbed one side and he grabbed the other. And I heard this a very famous vote already now. That what happened was, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu that the luchos are made out of two halves. There's Benodum Lechaveh and Benodum Lamokim. And therefore you're right maybe that we've failed in the Benodum Lamokim by making an eagle. But Benodum Lechaveh, we're fine. So they grabbed one side, he grabbed the other. But he pulled it off them and he smashed them to tell them that you can't have one without the other. It's a big mistake. There's no such thing as one side without the other. A person thinks he can devote to that Benodum Lechaveh without having Yer Shamayim. Or a person thinks he can have Yer Shamayim without Benodum Lechaveh, it doesn't work. Both of them get smashed. Because if you failed one, you failed another. So that's Adech Agav.
Because they took one side, so there must be another side to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right. There's no two sides. Oh. He even said there is two sides. So we may complain. There must have been
the Torah says, Le'enei kol Yisrael. What did he do? He broke the luchos. And the Torah describes, as he's about to break the luchos, the Torah says, Va'aluchos ma'ase Elohim hu. Rashi says, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so happy with. Ma'ase Elohim. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets besimcha from. So I once heard a vort, Rashi basically says this vort, just B'derech Agar again, not Iknakuda, that Be'emes Moshe Rabbeinu over here did a very wonderful thing for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Rashi says that's a marshal of a melech where the Isha was, they heard a bad shmur about her, and therefore the Shishvinin came and he broke the ksuba, he destroyed the ksuba, so that afterwards the king cannot complain against his wife, the queen. The king can't complain against his wife because at the end of the day, the Duke Suba is got rid of. Who says you even got married? So Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, he knew that Shmuel would be angry with Klal Yisrael. So he did the most powerful thing was he broke the luchos in order that now Shmuel shouldn't have any reason to get angry with Klal Yisrael. That is one mahalach in understanding what was so special about breaking the luchos that the Torah says Le'enei kol Yisrael. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu did. But the Meshech Chochma, this expression, he goes off the whole Bahalach here, and he says that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Klal Yisrael a very, very important lesson. The very mistake they made with the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to teach them the opposite by breaking the Luchos. One of the Ikar Nekudos in Yiddishkeit is that we do not have something tangible which we serve, which is quite difficult. Klal Yisrael, especially in the days when people all served Avodah Zarah, and people were very busy with Avodah Zarah, so what happened was, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain 40 days, we haven't seen him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yer Shalu, you can't see. Ailin Vatsa, Lekim Zulosecho. You can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They wanted to have something that is Kaddish, that is special, that is unique. And that is why they made an eagle. Because an eagle is something they can see and they can serve. And Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to them, there's no such thing as Kedusha. There's nothing important in the eyes of Hashem unless you're doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The Kedusha of Klal Yisrael is in doing it right, not in finding some symbolic or spiritual entity which you can now serve. So therefore he took the most Kaddish thing, the Luchos, and he broke them. If you're not doing it right, there's no point in you having the Luchos either. There's a famous story of Shlomo Kalibach, that the Rav of Germany, not the singer, but Shlomo Kalibach was a Rav in Germany for many years. And once there was a young man who was planning to marry out. He was going out with a Geisha girl, planning to get married, and the family and friends tried very hard to convince him otherwise, and he wouldn't listen. So one day, the Rav called him into the shul, and he said, I'm going to give you a kibbutz. What's the kibbutz? You could do it so as Sefer Torah. Takes out, opens on a Kiddush, and the young man is holding the Sefer Torah. He says, now I have another kibbutz for you. Or you should take the Sefer Torah, throw it on the floor and walk all over it. Chas v'shalom, I wouldn't dream of doing something like that. So he said to me, Shudder, that marrying out is much worse than this. A person can naturally relate to Kedusha Sefer Torah, even a person quite far from Yiddishkeit. Oh, Sefer Torah, it's Kaddish, he was very, very impressed. This is a Sefer Torah. But what he was trying to say to him, that's not the Yiddish way of looking at it. The Yiddish way of doing it is do it right. Do it right. Moshe Rabbeinu saying to Christ, you've got the Luchos. Wow, it's Kaddish, wonderful. No. Your job is to serve Hashem the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to. So that I think, I don't know if Chas v'shalom Katrig or Christ, but sometimes you go to the Kaisel. And sometimes there can be a lack of tzniyus there. And because still a person can go to the Kaisel and think, oh, it's a Kedusha. While he's behaving in a way which is a lack of tzniyus, think to himself that I'm serving Hashem. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to a Kaisel, to a Mokim of Kedusha and Ruchnius. That's not be'emes the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be. The Eker Kedusha is in serving Hashem. You can go to the Kaisel and Davon, it's wonderful. As long as you make sure to do it right and not be over now that he's so much on the way. But a person, Chas v'shalom, who goes and thinks he's doing a Ruchniistic thing, but he's not doing it the right way, that is why Moshe Rabbeinu had to break the Luchos. And breaking the Luchos to teach you that the most Kaddishtic thing in the Yiddishkeit is not worth anything if you're not going to serve Hashem the way Hashem told you to do it. That's it. In this expansion we have the Keteros. The Keteros. Before a person came anywhere near the Beis HaMikdash, he could smell the Keteros. The Keteros was something which a person could smell all the way from Yerichoy. Long before you saw the fire, long before you saw the Korbanos, you could smell the Keteros. The limit of the Keteros was, it was a Reach Tov, a good smell. That Torah, Talmidei Chachamim, are supposed to provide a pleasant atmosphere around themselves. Keteros was a pleasant geshmak reach to spread. That was the Keteros, that was the symbol of what the Keteros was. The Shulchan Aruch Hirsch has got an amazing sefer called Jewish Symbolism, where he talks a very lot about the musig of what does mean a symbol. I was once struck by it, is that I went to a chasna, the non-form chasna, and then they had a normal chuppah, and one of the relatives came up and they asked me, why did the caller walk around the chosan 7 times? Why? I was so used to these things that we don't even ask ourselves why. No, caller walks around the chosan. People probably think that if they do the caller won't walk around the chosan, not yet submits as kedushla, in other words. But my says, it's based on the pasuk in Mishni, the cave of the Siv of Gelville, that a woman surrounds and protects her husband. That's the tafkid of a wife, and she protects him ruchnistik, and spiritual, and then gashmistik. And Bemis Pesachetshuva says, she do it 3 times, we do it 7 times, Api Kabbalah, the 7 walls of Yericha, the 7 levels of protection. Now imagine, I assume that there are people that don't know this, they don't realize that the reason she does it is to do this lesson. Some people go to a chuppah and come away and never think about it. It can happen. But the Maisa, the message is still there. Forget, if a person were to say to the caller, instead of walking about the chosan, just stand there and say, I hereby declare that I'll protect my husband. it wouldn't have the same message. Even though people would then understand what's happening, it wouldn't have the same koyach. A symbol has a koyach which goes much deeper, much greater than any words can have. The symbol of walking around the chosen teaches on a deeper level. And the same thing you have sitting low by a shiva, all the things that person, that's why the old days especially would have the musik of a flag in a battle. The flag was raised or lost, or if the enemy would capture the flag, the flag is a piece of cloth. That is, it's a symbol of the country's success. A symbol has a tremendous amount of koyach. The Torah, says of Shulchan Aruch Shavuot HaHersh, is full of symbols which teaches many lessons. And the person has to then the more a person is responding in the message, the more the symbol strives home. But these symbols are important. The most obvious one, he says, is that you've got the Mishkan. The Mishkan's got a chotzer, the Mizbeach, and then you go lemalo, you go higher, you get into the Shulchan and the Menorah, and then you go higher and higher, and you get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then you see there the Oren, and inside the Oren, what is the Oren? Is the Sefer Torah, is the Torah. That the most Kodesh, the highest level, when you get to the best, the Spitz, you get to Torah. That everything is the Ikker of Yiddishkeit, the greatest of Yiddishkeit is Torah. A person may never have even heard the word, but when a person has a picture in his mind of the Mishkan, that symbol comes through very, very loud. And over here we have the Keteris. The Keteris was a symbol of the fact that Talmud Torah and Talmud Chachamim and Mitzvahs are supposed to provide a positive atmosphere, a positive smell. And if they don't, they're not being done right. That is what the Keteris did. For hundreds of miles around Yerushalayim, you'd wake up with a kishmaka smell. Ah, this is coming from the Beis HaMikdash. And by emes, if a person reads stories of Talmidei Chachamim, one is very, very struck by this. Mamish, how they managed to create a pleasant atmosphere wherever they went. It was a geschmackheit in how they behaved towards other people. The Pele Yoetz, the Mordechai Musa Sefer, brings a story there. Mordechai said a story about Yaakov Kuli. Yaakov Kuli was the Mechaber of the Yalkut Me'amlois. Not long ago, the Yalkut Me'amlois was the Sefer. Like nowadays, I suppose, art school maybe. But the Yalkut Me'amlois, where everybody read, and he says like this, Yaakov Kuli was makpid to fast a very, very lot. He did a lot of Tanesim, Kapoz, the Chofetz Chaim had he writes, and nowadays we don't have that koyach, and instead of doing Tanesim, we should learn a bit harder. But in older days, people were stronger, and the people had the koyach, and he could, and he used to fast a very, very lot. He brings that up. He's Zoya, if a person fasts for 3 days consecutively, which is much harder than fasting 3 days separately, obviously, 3 days consecutively is keneged 84 Tanesim, which is a special kapara, and Yaakov Kuli, this big Talmud Chacham, would often fast 3 days consecutively to get to be zeicher to this. And one time it was a couple of hours before the end of the third day, and he went to speak to the local Rav about an important matter, and as he walked in, the Rav said to him, "Would you like a coffee?" It was a couple of hours before that, mid-afternoon. So the Rav says to him, "Oh, it's tea time, would you like a cup of coffee?" So Yaakov Kuli said to him, "Yes, thank you very much. I really appreciate it." And he drank the cup of coffee. Anyway, his Talmidim were horrified. And as soon as he left, they said to him, "For a couple of hours longer, you could have waited and be zeicher to that kapor. What were you doing?" And he said to them, "Imagine how the world would have felt if I'd have said no. Especially if I'd have said no, I'm fasting. It would have really felt like a shmel. He's eating coffee and I'm fasting." But even without that, here I come in, I'm the guest, and he offers me something. I say, "No, thank you. It wouldn't have felt good. That would be kedai for me to give up that kapara that the Rav shouldn't feel not good shmack about himself." And the Pele Yoetz concludes, he thinks it's harder to drink a coffee 2 hours before the end of the third day than to fast for 3 days. Because to give up so much, I'd be not to make somebody feel less shmack about themselves. Mamish, this is there are not many stories. It's just something interesting because the Pele Yoetz, the Talmud Chacham himself, writes this story, and he's the spoil for it. It's a Mordechai Maisa, the Keteris. This is what the Keteris taught us. We have to make a geschmack atmosphere about around us. Just say very quickly, a very other Maisa, which I was also very spoiled, a very similar story. Ruchaim Kreiswood, the Rav in Antwerp, before Yom Tov, he would go around all the different families that were very, very poor, and he would give them money. Instead of just going and dashing, many of them are monos, he would come in and he would talk to them, and the opportunity to speak to Chaim Kreiswood was a very special. People were very excited. This was a special visit. And he had a driver that would take him round all the different houses. And the driver said after he was niftar, at one time, it was before Pesach, he said he went to 17 different homes in one morning. He said what happened was, he said the exact same scenario repeated itself in every home. He would walk in, they would be very excited to see the Rav. Can you imagine Chaim Price had the opportunity to speak to him? And the first thing they would say is, can we offer the Rav a cup of coffee? And he would say, yes, thank you so much, I'd love a cup of coffee. And he was refreshing, and he would thank them and drink it. And the driver said that he followed suit after three houses. His head started spinning from the coffee. And Chaim Kreisler, he said, in 17 homes, sat there, ate the, and sometimes offered him cake, ate cake, and drank coffee 17 times one morning. And in every home, he thanked them, and he was complimentary about how refreshing it was. That's the geshmak atmosphere that Talmud Chochem can create. It's a Buddhika Meister, but there's thousands of these stories. There's a person, that is the Keteris. That is the message of the Keteris. It's interesting, it may say a word now, which will upset some. The Das Kedim says it. The Das Kedim Balatesis asks, that what was Aaron HaKohen's obvious reply to Klal Yisrael when they said to him, that we don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu is and we need a leader? The Das Kedim asks this question. What was the most obvious answer that Aaron HaKohen could have said to them? I will be the leader. He had been leader for many, many years, Aaron HaKohen. Tens of years he had been leader in Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu had only been a leader for a year or two, at most. And now Moshe Rabbeinu is not there. You want a leader? Say that I'll take back my old job. But he didn't. Says the Das HaKohen, why not? He says, imagine how Moshe Rabbeinu would have felt coming down the Har Sinai. I go away for 40 days to get the Torah and you take my position. Of course Moshe Rabbeinu would have been angry like we get. But the word is, at the end of the day, would have been geschmack. Would have been a pleasant atmosphere. Would have been the message of the Keteris. He didn't expect the eagle to come out as it did, obviously. He didn't expect that Rashi says already that it went against what he wanted. But the reason he didn't suggest straight away, make me leader, was he didn't want to upset Moshe. That is the Keteris.
Really, the reason was because he killed Chu. That's why he was scared.
That's why he didn't say no. But why could he say to them, well, Chu said to them, no, Moshe is the leader.
They killed Chu.
That's why he didn't say no. But I'll just say a very quick word for the Balatum. It's a famous word for the Balatum, but it's very Kedai. Remember, it's every year Purim time. Everybody has been spoiled from the grace of godless of the killer, how they give so much stock on Purim. So it's a more say people think about, rather the Argoim who give charity as well. But the godless of stock by Klal Yisrael is a different Madrega altogether from how Goyim behave. It's a murder Madrega. A person can be in the spoil from the tzibur. Even the big poor kehillahs, you see, I remember in Kiryat Sefer, Babish people were struggling, came to Purim time, people would give tzedakah on Ashir, mamish. So the Balatum, famous Balatum in this week's parasha, it's good to remember it. The pasuk says, V'nosnu ishkoi fenafshoi, and the Balatum says the word V'nosnu is a palindrome. It's a word that can be read both ways. Vav, nun, tof, nun, vav, V'nosnu. If you read it backwards, it also says V'nosnu. It's a word that can be read both ways. It says about a Torah, because what a person gives is what a person gets. As much as you give, that's what you get. It's a murderic message in Stocker. Munvaz HaMelech, the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us, I want to read out the Lashon of the Baal HaTorim, if you don't mind. V'nosnu, im tikrenu lemafrea, yeh gamke v'nosnu. Lo malachom mash odom noisen netzdoke yachzor eilov, v'lo yachzor loy bishvil zeh klum. A person loses nothing whatsoever by giving tzedakah. The Gemara Bava Basra says, Munvaz HaMelech, he had ancestors from many generations that hoarded gold and silver and had huge storehouses of wealth. And once it came to years of famine, and in a year or two, Munvaz HaMelech managed to go through centuries worth of wealth. He managed to spend in a year or two to support the poor people. And the family got very, very upset. He managed to go through the entire estate so quickly. And he said to them this message. He said, forget what I did was a far, far better investment. What they gave, what they hoarded can get lost. Person never safe with it. What I did is safe. What they did is in this world, I saved it in a much greater world. what they did doesn't create fruit, mine does. Mashal says that when a person gives tzedakah, and through that tzedakah other mitzvahs happen because of it, that also a person gets rewarded from. And mice of tzedakah, a person doesn't know how much schar one gets weiter and weiter. But that's the message of a nosnu. It's a word that can be read both ways. There is a Chaimah Kodesh, this is a Sparsho, which I'd like to speak to a few minutes about the concept of Ponim al Ponim Dibra Hashem al Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu face to face. What do you mean face to face? The Chaimah Kodesh teaches up Ponim al Ponim, Kefi ha Moshe Rabbeinu was Bisiachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so was HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bisiachas to him. And he's marich there by the Musag that a person who's tries to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how close HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets to him. There's a musag that a person thinks you go to shul, you daven, and that's it. It's not just the davening. It's the preparation to daven. It's in the preparation of how a person is misbehaving to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how close he gets. Bemis, if we talk about Jewish symbolism, as mentioned before, that was the message of the Kiyur. The symbol of the Kiyur was that you don't come into the Beis HaMikdash without washing your hands and legs, without being mitare yourself. You have to prepare yourself when you come to serve Hashem. Ponim al ponim. You have Chas Shalom the other way. If a person doesn't prepare himself, then he gets lost. But actually, in this week's parash says, we dissolve that. The great eagle Zov, Rashi says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu mention the Zov? Because Rashi brings a moshul that there was once a king who had a son, and he fed him, and he gave him to drink, and he dressed him very nicely, and he put him in Pesach Shal Zonos. Mayasa ben velo yechto. That he said, Akshvuch kubi yochel, you helped cause the Aveira by starting it off, by preparing them for the Aveira. Rabbi Yeruchim in Das Tir is very marich in Dvorim about this. He says that many times a person loses in the battle of the Yetzirah, but what he doesn't realize is that before the battle started, he had already lost. The person goes to bed very, very late, dashes into Shachris, because he wakes up late, and then he doesn't daven mekavona. So he thinks, I had the Yetzirah not to daven mekavona, and I lost it. But that's not true. That battle was already lost before you even started. Had you got to bed earlier, had you prepared yourself a few minutes before Shachris, collected your thoughts, then you would have had a chance to daven b'kavona. But because you never prepared yourself, you already lost before you started. And he says, be'emes a big chelek. He says, the ikar chelek of fighting the Yetzirah is before the Yetzirah, before the shayla even comes into question. One says, Shem Shem Pinkas, I mentioned this before, that he said he's not a chassid, there's a few things he wishes he would become a chassid for. And one of the things he said he wishes to be a chassid is because they wear a gartel for davening. He says, at least for 30 seconds before davening, they're thinking to themselves, I'm about to daven. He says, by me, that's what he said, I'm sure he didn't do this. He says, by me, it's possible to come into shul, dash into mincha, and be starting asher before I've even had a chance to think, I'm about to daven. It's in the preparation of a mitzvah that you can win or lose. But the eagle, Rashi says that they lost because they were prepared for the Abeir. Mayasa ben velo yechto. Mayasa ben velo yechto. What can the son do and not do an Abeir? It's impossible for him to win because in the preparation he's lost. But if a person prepares himself for a mitzvah, ponim al ponim, rachem HaKadosh, then the person can win. Forget. That is how a person is zeichet to Madrigals. It's interesting that the Moshe Rabbeinu wore a masva because he had keren upon him. He had his face shone, so he had to wear a mask. It's interesting. I have to mention this. It was only this year as the scholar to be a bit. Is that if you look at the Targum, when he talks about keren upon him, the Targum uses the lashon how he segei ziv yekor da'apoyi, which the literal translation is that the shine of his face increased. So I was in the Nesim Medrash, there was a Rav there, so I said to him, oh, you see from the Targum that everybody has a light. But Moshe Rabbeinu, if you look at the Targum, I think it's always clearly. And he says that Moshe Rabbeinu's light became much, much bigger. But everybody has a light. His just became much brighter. Well, he didn't like it. So, once you say something, you feel a need to prove it sometimes. Father Posuk in Koheles, it says, Chochmas Odom Toir Ponov. The Chochmah of a person lights up his face. And Rashi there uses Moshe Rabbeinu as a moshul. And then Shabbat is not talking about just the Moshe Rabbeinu, because he's talking about every person. You see, Chochmas Adam Toya Pondov, the Chochma of a person lights up his face. But Moshe Rabbeinu's Chochma was much, much greater, on a much different level, so his light is much greater. But I think from the Targum itself, it's already arrived. But he put a mask on, because he didn't want Klal Yisrael to stand banana from the light. But when he came to the Shiurim, when he came to his Torah, he would take the mask off. The Shai is, why? Why was it necessary for the mask to come off? And the vote is like this as well. When they were coming to hear a shir from him, he wanted them to be prepared, not just to hear the words, but to have that emotional experience of seeing who he is, and to be nispoiled from his galus, and then to hear his Torah. A person comes to a shir, you could hear a Baruch Shem different ways, but a person is not interested in the hearing, not prepared himself, I'm about to hear a shir. It doesn't have the same koyach. Moshe Rabbeinu had to make sure that there would be, the mask should be off. In order, the mask should be off in order they should see the light of his face. Once at a marshal, it's a nice marshal, but there was once a professor. He never took off any jobs in university. He was very dedicated, very, very dedicated to his job. He never took off. Weddings, illnesses, and then one day he took off because Mamish had no choice. So what did he do? He sent a tape recorder of his lecture. And once it worked so well, he asked him after to enjoy it, he worked so well, so he got used to it, started doing it on a regular basis. At the beginning of the month, eventually got to the stage where he would send in 20, 30 tapes, and he wouldn't bother, he could then keep them for other times. Eventually he had been in his classroom, in his lecture room for years, and he decides to go in to see what's happening. He's walking down the corridor, and he can hear his voice in the background, he's very impressed. It's nice to what happens is, he walks closer and closer, he hears silence, pin drops, and he thinks, wow, they're really listening, and he opens the door, and there's hundreds of tape recorders around his tape recorder. Because the person is not, he wasn't being mashkia himself into it. He wasn't preparing himself into it, so they weren't either. There's a lot more on this week's parasha. And this is after it's got murder keter as well. So I would say one ha'ora on this week's after, very quickly in your permission, is Achav spent his life trying to chase Elio to kill him. And Achav tells Elio immediately, I'm rushing a bit, but Achav tells Elio immediately why he does it. The first time Achav meets Elio, what does he say to Elio Anovi? You are the one who's destroying Klal Yisrael. Why? Because Elio Anovi made the famine. Elio Anovi said there should be no rain. Thousands, tens of thousands of Yidden had died. And Achav was very upset for Klal Yisrael. He said, you Elio, you're destroying Klal Yisrael. What does Elio Anovi answer him? He said, not me, but you are the one. You are the one. I never did it. He said, I've never destroyed Kaisol. You are the one who's destroyed Kaisol. It's a really good thing to think about. Many times a person in life hears people say, we want to save you. We want to save Kaisol. And you have to remember very clearly, Achav looked at Elio Anovi, the one person who saved Klal Yisrael. He looked at him and said to him to his face, you are the one who's destroying Klal Yisrael. And the embassy was 100% wrong. Achav was the one who was destroying Klal Yisrael. Okay, we haven't got the time, but first we must explain who in his life is the one who's really saving him, and who is the one who's not. Charles. Продолжение следует...